Thank you, Cole, the band. Just a reminder that the Grace Marriage Series, which begins, we're having it 3-4 times this year, that Grace Marriage opening time will be next weekend, and there are still spots available. We'd love for you to sign up for that if you wish. If marriage is going great and you just want to keep it going great, or maybe you got family or family members or friends who are struggling in their marriage, you take this and share that information with them and encourage them. Great opportunity, but that's next weekend. So check your bulletin. There is a sign-up sheet out in the back that you can say we want one of those spots. Today is, of course, Super Bowl Sunday. And I, like you, you know, I want to watch the 82 hours of pregame coverage that started last week. But want you to know, you know, I try not to shorten the sermon a little bit for you all. I want you to know that. And so I just want to say, you know, let me say right at the beginning, God loves you, and so do I. And that about does it. Why don't we bring Cole back out? And we, 3 weeks ago, began a study on prayer. We called it Amen. And we have addressed so far why some prayers seem to go unanswered. We've addressed how God answers prayers. And then last week, Adam did a great job on how to listen to God. And since we began this teaching series, I've been asked questions about prayer. Now, none of them would make an entire sermon, but I want to address them because they're important to you. And maybe, even if you haven't asked that question, it's still a question you want answered. So today, I'm simply going to answer those questions that I've received through emails and texts and people just asking me, and some questions I've been asked in the recent past. And if you're visiting with us, I want you to know this is not our typical teaching time, but it's the best way that I know of to answer specific questions. Questions and today about prayer that trouble people, that they want to know more of. So that's what we're going to address today. So let me pray for you and we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, thank you for connecting with us through communion, just as a reminder of what your Son did for us, for connecting with us through the fellowship that takes place all over this building and out in the parking lot, through our giving, through our prayers. And now we ask that you connect with us through the study of your word. May it please you, may it honor you, but also, Father, may it open up our eyes to your truth. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let me say, this is leading up to, we're doing this on prayer. Next week is the last sermon on prayer. And next Sunday night is a prayer time for our church. Adam and Jared will be leading it, and we'll be praying together as a church, and they're going to lead us through that and how we should pray and what we should be praying for with some music, and just it's going to be a great night. So I want you to be aware that's next Sunday night. Here's the first question that came to me. Is it more important to pray hard or pray believing? Yes. Next question. I'm kidding. Both are very, very important. But if I have to choose, I would choose to pray with faith. I'll talk more about praying hard and persistent prayer next Sunday. But one of Satan's greatest weapons, I think, is to plant seeds of doubt in our minds. He wants us to believe that God doesn't listen to our prayers. And if he does listen, he doesn't care to answer. It's just a waste of time for him. We can't please God without faith. And also, it is impossible to pray effectively without faith. the faith that tells us God does care and he does answer prayer. The faith that tells us that God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, that he cared so much. Jesus promised, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Obviously, that's bound by the will of God and other things, but he promises, I'm going to answer your prayer. Before this, he said, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. Understand, these promises are for everyone. That prayer changes circumstances. For ordinary people, not just for those who change history. These are just two of the many verses stating God's power through our prayers. And it's available to every believer, not just Bible heroes, not just missionaries, not just TV evangelists. But answered prayer and God's power through answered prayer is available to every one of us. All we have to do is believe. Praying in faith is the absolute confidence that God is on his throne, he is over all, and nothing is impossible with him. That's praying in faith. Now, I've met many people who aren't sure they have enough faith. And that faith doesn't translate into their prayers. Ironic as it seems, you can pray for increased faith to pray more effectively. The apostles did. They asked the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said to the father of a boy tortured by an evil spirit, everything is possible for one who believes. And that dad responds, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. We may not understand everything about the process, but God will enlarge and strengthen the faith of his children. Pray with faith. Pray believing. Here's another question. David, why do I pray when I need something and I don't pray as much when things are good? Well, a lot of us fall into this category, let's be honest. The easy answer is because we're human. It's just our nature to turn to God when everything goes wrong and to seek his help and want to get close to him. And we're desperate, so we go to our Heavenly Father. But when life is good and everything's great and there's money in the bank and everybody's healthy and everything is just wonderful, we tend to gravitate away from spiritual matters and thoughts, including prayer and maybe even church attendance. We tend to think of prayer as an emergency parachute. We jump into school, jump into career, jump into marriage. Everything is great. Life is fun. Then we hit some turbulence in that process. And it's like, okay, I can deal with this. I'll deal with it on my own. And so we attempt and we try and nothing works. And then that's when we declare emergency and we pray, begging for help, begging for assistance. And I think that's why it's so important to develop a consistent, quiet time with the Lord every day. Set aside time, even if it's just 15 minutes, set aside time to pray and to read God's word every day. Because you don't want your prayers always to be a frantic 911 call. Help me, God, come quick, I need you right now. Your communication with God should be an everyday conversation that contains thanksgiving and praise and requests and sharing your heart. And then when those urgent requests are needed, when they become necessary in your mind, you already have this strong relationship with your Father. You just pick up where you left off, knowing he's listening because you talk to him every day, knowing you're not approaching a stranger because you know him from that daily fellowship, from that daily Bible reading. Here's another one. Sometimes I just don't know what to pray for. or I'm so emotional I can't find the right words? Does this mean God won't help or that I'm a bad Christian? I want you to understand this. It doesn't mean either of those things. We read in the scriptures, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is our advocate. Do you know if you find yourself in a court case, most of the time you don't have to say a word? Sometimes you don't even have to show up in court because your advocate, your lawyer, your attorney can speak for you. He or she understands court procedures when you don't. They speak legalese. You stumble over English. They represent you. Now, you also have an advocate representing you before the Heavenly Father. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you are weak, he is strong. When you are timid, he speaks boldly. Jesus understands our every weakness. He lived in one of these tired, broken down bodies. He can stand in for us, representing us when we just can't speak for ourselves. But there's more. We also have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You ever just couldn't find the right words to pray? You're hurting so much and you just sort of groan. Or you cry. And you just can't get the words out. Those tearful moans coming from your heart. God understands. Because the Holy Spirit speaks groanings. Takes our moans and our tears and even our sobs and translates them, takes them up to the throne of grace for us. God is not disappointed when we are so burdened or so emotional we can't find the right words to say. He's sympathetic and he picks up where we stop. And so if Jesus as your advocate and the Holy Spirit as your prayer partner, you've been praying a lot more than you think. And God is listening to you. Because he cares. I'll be honest with you, this next question, I didn't even want to address. Why do some people get healed and others don't when we pray for them? And I wish I had the answer to this one. I truly do. Because I've asked this question of God myself many times. This is a question non-Christians throw in our face as they cast doubts on a loving God. This is a question that has caused unbelievers to walk away from the faith, to walk away from God, to walk away from the church. Because their prayers for loved ones weren't answered exactly the way they wish. Christian author Max Lucado once shared, there are two false notions when it comes to healing. False notion number one is that death is always bad. We see a hearse and we think grief. We see a grave and we think hopelessness. We read an obituary and we think loss. And yet God can see the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. He knows what's up ahead in life. He knows that souls can be led to his son, Jesus Christ, through illness, through the death of Christians. He knows life is very, very short when compared to eternity, and eternity is what matters. And sometimes our transfer to heaven is an escape from what is in our future, which we cannot see, which we cannot understand. Listen to what Isaiah wrote. The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. See, sometimes death is an escape. It's a time for heavenly rewards. It's not a punishment. Ever since sin entered the world, the body has been doomed to die. So not only is physical death inevitable, death is necessary for us to inherit heaven. Paul reminded us, flesh and blood cannot have a part in the kingdom of God. This body that can be destroyed must clothe itself with something that can never be destroyed. As long as we see death as failure, as tragedy, then we're going to perceive that God is not answering our prayers, that he doesn't care enough to answer our prayers. And I guarantee if you should have the opportunity to take a poll in heaven, do a little survey, and you ask, hey, would you like the opportunity to go back down to earth? I guarantee you it's a unanimous no. Because heaven is so wonderful, so beautiful, and so perfect. No one ever wants to leave there. God does what is best. And that's why we must pray in faith. Now, the second false notion about prayer is the phrase, prayer heals. And we use this often, and we know what we're saying, but some people don't. God heals, not prayer. If you think the power is in your words, the power is in prayer, not the one who hears the prayer, you're going to fault yourself for unanswered prayer. I mean, how many Christians have dealt with the false guilt of inadequate prayer? If I had prayed more. If I had prayed harder, if I had prayed better, if I had used different words, if I had gone to that prayer meeting at church they had on Sunday night. To claim that prayer heals is to place prayer in the realm of magic. The power of prayer is in the one who hears it, not in the one who offers it. And there are times that God will choose to say no to an earthly request so he can say yes to a heavenly one. And again, Romans 8, just a wealth of truth there. We know that in all things, not just in some things, not just in a few things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. He cares about you. And he always is going to do what is best. All right, here's an interesting question. What new things have you been praying for, David? Thank you for asking. I've been praying for many new things, but I have placed much emphasis on praying for my new church family. I pray for you. This church family exists so that all people will know and follow Jesus. And I've been praying what that looks like for us, for our church family, how we can reach into this community deeply and passionately. I've been asking, what ways can we build growing disciples who duplicate themselves? And not just people who just come to church and sit. And yeah, I've been praying for our new building, but it's just a building. I've been focusing my prayers on you. Because you're the key to this church. God gives the growth, but he works through you. And I have been praying since January 1st. I have been praying that everyone in this church, every family, every individual, I've been praying that you would make it your desire to bring someone with you to this church, not just for one Sunday, but that you would be willing to mentor them spiritually, to bring them so they become part of our church family. And to realize that God will use those connections to grow his church. I mean, we could double in a year in size. If everyone just made it their intention, I'll just bring one person, one family with me. And I will make them my goal, my target, to make them a part of my church family. So I've been praying for you. I've been praying for the Eagles to win, but other than that, I've been praying for you, right? That we are a church of the Word, that we are a church of outreach, that we are a church that loves our community, that shares that love. And of course, I want us to be a church of prayer. I shouldn't forget that, because we can't do God's work without God, people. It's impossible. Here's another question. Should I pray silently so Satan can hear me? Okay, you know, in nearly 40 years of ministry, I've only been asked this question one other time. So the individual who asked this gets a prize. I think that's appropriate. You get a free David Welsh bobblehead suitable for your home or office, whatever you want. And let me, I'm sure the thinking here is that Satan is not God. Satan is a created, fallen angel. He is not all-knowing. He is not all-powerful. He is not omnipresent. He is limited. And he can't read our minds. So if we pray out loud, he'll hear our prayers. He'll know what we're praying for. And he'll attempt to stop those prayers from being answered. So the question, should we pray silently? Which is a very interesting question if you've never thought about this. Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All right. Very few people think about this. Very few Christians think about this when they get up in the morning. But every day when you wake up, you go to war. You are in a spiritual war. There are no conscientious objectors. You cannot escape and hide in the back lines because there are no back lines. You are at war every day. You go into battle every day. Now, Satan can't be everywhere. He's not like God. But he has a huge army of foot soldiers called fallen angels or demons. And he uses them for spiritual attacks against us. They have an incredible communication system that makes AT&T look like they're using two cups and a string. They are a powerful enemy. They can anticipate your needs. They can anticipate your prayers, whether they hear them or not. They already know just by observing what your spouse means to you, what your kids mean to you, what your grandkids mean to you, what your parents mean to you, what your job means to you. They know what makes you tick. They know how you spend your money, so they know your priorities. They know your vulnerabilities. You know, some people worry about the NSA or the United States government listening in on our lives, sort of eavesdropping. Listen, the fallen angels have been watching and listening and tempting you for years. But God has been watching over you since before you were born. Satan is no match for his power and his majesty. Jesus' death on the cross assured victory in heaven for all of his followers. You don't have to be afraid of Satan listening in. You don't have to be afraid of his foot soldiers listening to your prayers and then working against them. What they already know, what they already can anticipate, they can't do anything about. Because you've got God on your side. You don't have to be afraid. Two questions, David. How long should my prayers be, and what does it mean to pray continually? Okay. First, no prayer length is dictated in the Bible. We have prayers of all lengths in Scripture. On occasions, Jesus prayed all night long. At other times, circumstances dictated short prayers, like when he was on the cross and he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I played basketball in college with a guy named Aaron Mitchell, who was later invited to a tryout with the Portland Trailblazers. He's a great guy, loved him. We'd roomed together on road trips. We were in a Missouri hotel, and right next door to this hotel was a pet shop. And one of my teammates, who had more money than brains, went over and bought a tarantula. Well, what I didn't know is that Aaron borrowed the tarantula late that night. So I'm sitting in my room, I'm watching TV, and out of the corner of my eye, I just get a sense of movement. And I turn and I'm staring directly into the 12 eyes of Tommy the tarantula. And I leaped out of the bed, knowing that the tarantula had leaped after me. And I prayed, "Gee!" Which, when translated, means, "God, help me." Gee. Shortest prayer I've ever asked God. Doesn't matter how long your prayers are. There are time for long prayers, time for short prayers. You'll know. But what does it mean to pray continually? Well, this is a quote from 1 Thessalonians 5. "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So let me define. Prayer, or pray continually, means to possess an attitude and a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer should be as natural as breathing. I mean, you don't think about breathing. It's involuntary. Your body just does it. The only time you think about it is when you go to the doctor and they say, "Okay, breathe. Okay, let it out." That's the only time you think about it. The rest of the time you just do it. Well, that's the way prayer should be, where you don't have to think about it. It just happens. You wake up in the morning and your first thought is, "Hey, God, thank you for last night's rest. I just pray you'll be with me all day." And you drive to work and you turn off the radio for a second and you say, "Hey, God, listen, I just pray if there's anybody who needs help in my circle today, that you would put me in a position where I could speak to them. And if there's anything I need to say spiritually, just give me the right words to say." And you go to your kid's soccer game and you look over and you say, "Hey, God, there's Tom and Betty and they're really struggling with their marriage, I know. And I just pray you'll bless them right now. And maybe you'll put somebody in their life to help them out. And if it's me, I'll talk. But I just want help for them. So just bless them." And you just find yourself praying throughout the day. You don't even think about it. It just comes to mind. Come, you see somebody and you automatically pray, "God bless them." And that's what it means to pray continually. A constant flow of emotions and request and praise and thanksgiving. You're in and out of conversation with God all day long. And don't worry about your posture. In the Bible, people prayed standing up, sitting down, on their knees, hands raised, hands folded, even falling face down on the ground, which is a painful way to pray, but it kept them awake. Pray. It doesn't matter. Let it be continual. Let it be throughout the day. Your physical position doesn't matter as much as your heart position. Paul reminded us, do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, if we do that, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God will hold your hearts in His heart. One last question. And I got time just for this last question. Why do some people raise their hands when they pray and sing? Look at this little girl. What is she saying? Mom? Dad? Pick me up. Pick me up. And when I see hands raised as people pray, I often think that's us. God, I'm hurting right now. And I don't know what to do. Would you just pick me up and help me? God, I don't know what the words to say. I've lost someone who's important to me. And I'm hurting so bad. Will you just give me a hug? Hey, just hold on to me for a little bit. Let me know you got this, that you're going to get me through this. God, I don't understand what's going on in my life. Everything seems to be going wrong. What is it? Is it me? I want to be patient, but I need help. Would you just grab me right now and give me some of your patience and let me know it's okay? What do you need to pray right now? What do you need to lift up to God? We'll have prayer warriors down front if you just want to pray with someone or have someone pray for you. During this song, you're welcome to walk down the aisle and they're here for you. Maybe you just need to pray where you're at during this song. Pray for help. Pray for God to just intercede. Pray that you just feel His presence. Give Him thanksgiving. Give Him praise. And pray. Let's stand, please.